I want to share with you this morning something that's more or less an exhortation. We were having staff meeting on Tuesday, and I was, you know, praying about something I could share with the staff. And you know, when we come to this time of year, to be honest, you know, we've worked hard, we've prayed, we've fasted in some cases, we've shared, and you see a buildup usually from about the first part of the year up until Easter. And then it seems like everybody just kind of shuts off their head and their heart, and they get in vacation mode. School's coming close to an end, and there's a lot of things going on. And then suddenly we've got summer, and everything that's been building and all the anticipation for what God is doing seems to go on hold until somewhere in September, October, when people get back in school and so forth and so on. The vacation culture takes over, and I understand that. It's needful and so forth. But as a pastor, I'm just telling you today, it is the hardest time of the year. I dread summer every year because it seems like that we get all dressed up with no place to go. You know, and people just kind of leave town and get this flake factor going. And I've remembered many, many families over the years. I remember this one family in particular that we knew in Phoenix, that they came to me one spring about this time, and they said this. They said, "Pastor, we'll see you in the fall." And they had like three kids and so forth and so on, and they said, "We're just going to have family time this summer." And the problem is, oftentimes, extended time away from the people of God creates a lot of issues. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, and even more so as we see the day approaching. And what I was sensing the other morning when I was praying was that malaise and that sense of frustration, knowing that we're getting ready to go into this season. And I was praying, "Lord, what can I share with the staff? Because I sure don't want to share that." And I was shaving, and the Lord says to me, "It's growing season." And there's my bird. I want you all to meet Mr. Starling. Yeah. Mr. Starling, or Miss Starling, I'm not sure which. Maybe it's a female, I'm not sure. Maybe it is today. But he or she has been enjoying the confines of our sanctuary for several hours, or maybe a day or more, we don't know. And you'll see some of the housings on the can lights have been pecked out, I'm sure, as the bird was flying into them. And a while ago we had a feather or some insulation or something drift down. I thought, "Oh, the Lord's just moving." But no, it was the bird. And we have a prize this morning. If you should be ministered to by the bird, We have a gift certificate to Comet Cleaners for you. So don't you worry. It's all good. It's all good. So anyway. From the sublime to the ridiculous. You know, that's the way the message goes today. But at any rate, I just, when I was in that moment, you know, God's perspective on things is quite different from ours. And summer, as you know, is a growing season, isn't it? It's when things really happen. And summer's a time when we get together with people that we don't usually hang out with necessarily, maybe for extended periods of time during the rest of the year when we're all so busy. And I started to see something in my spirit, and I shared it with the staff. And I feel that I need to share it with you today because I think it's an opportunity that we may be missing, that we may be misunderstanding at the very least. And I want to share with you. And the basis for this comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I'll just read verse 6 because of time. It says, Paul is speaking here about the situation in Corinth. There were people that were following this leader and that leader. Some were saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos," and so forth and so on. And he's saying, "Hey, is that my bird again?" Praise God. Where's my shotgun? I could take care of this in one shot. Trust me, I could. I know I could. I just offended all the moms in the room. Sorry, Mom. I can see this is going to go well today. $100 for the first person to catch the bird. Let me read this. And Paul says an interesting thing here. He says, I planted, Apollos watered. If this keeps working out like this, I may get the gift certificate. I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. You know, the interesting thing that I really never thought about it before, but planting is a crisis moment. It happens one time. That seed goes into the ground, and it's left. Harvest is the same thing in the analogy that we have here in this particular case. We're talking about grain. It's harvested one time. But in the middle, there's this process we never talk about much. We're big on planting. We're big on harvesting. And most of Christians' messages are about those things, sharing the gospel and the harvest that comes. And that's, of course, the beginning and the end. It's the Alpha and the Omega. But how many of you know there's this squishy, difficult, long, arduous, unrewarding at times process in the middle called watering? And, you know, we had some construction going on in our backyard, and there was some heavy equipment in there that left some pretty big ruts and things. And so people that were doing the construction came in and strawed and seeded that area so that it would grow back and we wouldn't have these huge ruts and so forth. Is the Lord doing something up there, or is it my bird? And so anyway, I was mowing the other day, and the thrust of the air from the mower blew back some of the straw, and there laying beneath that straw was all the seed, dry and you know, kind of desolate looking, to be honest. And I thought to myself, you know, that's probably going to have a hard time growing in this particular climate situation we've got right now. And so we embarked upon the process of daily watering. We do that with our garden as well, because we, you know, it just takes time, and you got to do it if you're going to have anything going on. And the Lord began to really lay this on my heart about the process of watering. We have sown much. We have been praying for 8 or 9 years now, I forget the exact date, in the 45 about one thing, and that's outpouring and outreach and touching our city and so forth and so on. And those seeds have been sown. We've preached and ministered. We've made sure we taught classes. We've made sure that every group in the church has been equipped with the Word of God, which, of course, is a picture of the seed. From one of the two, there's two parables in Matthew 13. One, where the Word is called the seed, and the second one, where men that are the fruits of righteousness are called the seed in the earth, and God is coming to harvest those people. We may read that a little bit later on. But the bottom line is that there is a harvest necessary, but there's a process in the middle. And this watering process is huge. And I began to really think about that. It just really came as like a rhema in my spirit, that while we are encouraged to plant vigorously, and while we are praying for a harvest that is the fruit of God's activity among us, there is something intervening that we must do. And it's not the romantic part. And it's the part that goes on in life. And moms are so good. This is the nurturing part. And this is the thing that amazes me most about moms, is they have this ability to be there. They have this ability to lay their own desires and needs aside constantly for the sake of that little one that cries incessantly, or that little one that can't express its needs. And moms somehow just know those needs. And it's the most amazing thing. That I guess that's one thing I've always just admired so much about moms is their ability to do that and put themselves aside for the sake of their kids. And I believe there's an aspect of that, and it seems apropos today to even to share that with you, that nurturing is not just a female function. Nurturing, especially for a Christian, is something that each and every one of us have inside of us. There's a desire and a need to propagate the species, if you will, of Christianity. There's a need to make sure that people that are born of God have the ability to function and become fruitful. And let me just talk to you about a couple of interesting things I discovered about seeds in the process. Let me give you, first of all, a definition, a working definition for seeds, if I might. This came out of Wikipedia, so you know it's absolutely sterling. But it's really the best I found. It says a seed is an embryonic plant enclosed in a protective outer covering called a seed coat, usually with some stored food. And I do know this from my background in school, is that that epidermal layer of a seed is very important. That what it does is it marks time for that seed between the time that it's matured in that plant until next year when it's time for that plant to sprout. Because if that seed sprouted right away, it would be destroyed in the coming season. And so that epidermal layer keeps that seed from absorbing the moisture and the oxygen that it needs to germinate. And then at some future time, it finds all those necessary environmental things, and it begins to burst and come to life and meet its destiny. But that, and the good news too, is that epidermal layer contains inside of it, and in fact, it itself in many cases, is nutrition and nutrients for that young plant. And so when it begins to be dissolved, what happens is the plant feeds on that and the process of breaking out of it, and it goes on to its destiny. And what we find out from that is that probably in this picture that we're developing here, that when God births a born-again child of God, there is an embryonic saint inside. When the Word of God is given to us, Peter referred to it in his first epistle, I think it was verse 23, that the Word is imperishable. Do you understand what I'm saying? That when you give someone the Word of God, when somebody goes through a Sunday school class as a child, when they tune into a radio or television broadcast, when they pick up a pamphlet, when they read a book, when they hear scripture quoted from a friend, there is something in that which lodges in the heart of a person, and it is in embryonic form everything they need. And the process is such a powerful thing because that seed is imperishable. To give you an example of what we're talking about, in the pyramids in Egypt, they discovered ancient wheat that was over 4,000 years old. And in the process of studying all that they found in there, they planted some. They germinated some of that wheat. And after 4,000 years, that embryonic plant was alive. All it took were the right environmental factors and water, and that wheat grew. It's like the Word of God. You may think that what you're doing, moms and dads, what you're doing to your children, with your children, what you're doing with your friends, what you're doing in life, you seem to read the Bible, maybe you make sure the kids are aware of it and so forth and so on. But what you don't realize is that they are being a seedbed for eternal, imperishable things that God is investing through them, through your effort. And at any time, the right environmental scenarios can converge in that situation, and that word can spring to life, and that embryonic Christian that's there can come forth. And the amazing thing about it is that watering doesn't stop once germination happens. It continues on. It's a nurturing process that goes on and on and on. And so I want you to see that in your spirit. There he is again. And I want you to see that in your spirit because it's something that we all live with. How many of you here would raise a hand and say, you know, there's someone in my life that I have been sharing with for years and I don't see any change? There's one thing I would like to see. Boom! I got him. He's a done deal. There's one thing I'd like to see, besides that bird. What I would like to see is when I ask that question, that every single Christian's hand goes up. Because that's the deal. That's the deal. When we are continually sharing. Now, when I'm talking about this process of watering, which is what I'm referring to now with sharing, it's not that we're constantly preaching to people. Somebody said one time, preach the gospel to every creature, and when necessary, use words. Because your life is a testimony, one way or the other. You cannot hide what you are. You can't hide what you are. Sooner or later, people know what we are. And our words either endorse us or make us look like a phony. And so the first thing, you know, my pastor used to say, being precedes doing. Being a Christian is much more important than talking Christian. Talking Christian only gives instructions to somebody who wants what you've got. On the other hand, it can give ammunition to those who can claim you're a hypocrite and wouldn't want to touch what you've got. So the first thing is that we got to be authentic. But after that, our actions on behalf of people and toward people are so very, very incredibly important. Let me give you a couple of things that are in the notes. In the 1 Corinthians 3 passage, Paul lists these three necessary processes for success given the potential of the seed. The planting, first of all, it's a one-time event. Watering is a persistent, hopeful nurture, ongoing. And then the increase of the harvest is a one-time event in this context. A seed must germinate. And Jesus talked about that process in relation to his own life in John 12:24, when he said, a grain of wheat must fall into the ground and die. And if it dies, it will produce much fruit. If it doesn't die, it will abide alone. There's something that has to happen. That seed undergoes a process of transformation that looks like decay and death. When that coating of that seed begins to be permeated by the water, it gets soft and malleable, and it begins to dissolve and be utilized by the plant and so forth and so on. And it splits open and the plant emerges out of it. So one thing dies so that life may happen. It's a beautiful picture. But the hard seed coat must be penetrated. And there are a lot of people that have a hard, hard covering to them. I know I'm not saying anything that you don't know or acknowledge today. Let me give you a couple of interesting things I found out. Usually, when a seed is planted, first of all, at the right temperature and the right depth, all is needed is water in a timely fashion and proper amount to soften the hard covering and release what's stored within, both embryo and the nutrition. The plant grows, breaks out of its shell, and goes toward maturity. Variations on that process are as follows. There are some seeds that are called dormant seeds. These are seeds that have been planted or dropped along the way, and in the natural condition, they fall off their parent plant. And in many cases, they're dormant for years. We see this out in the desert. You see it in various tropical climates where these seeds fall and lack proper conditions for growth and for germination for quite some time. When those are provided, they readily respond. These things include temperature, water, light or darkness, and oxygen. For instance, some seeds that fall in a heavy forest have a canopy over them which blocks most of the light, and this impedes the process of germination. When that canopy, for some reason or other, is opened up and light can reach those seeds, they readily germinate and repopulate the area that was deforested. And we see that from time to time, mostly in the Amazon and places like that. Also, we see kind of seeds that require abrasion. These are heavy husked kind of seeds, and they're usually in difficult terrain. Some seeds, we see this in Africa a lot, require fire before they can regenerate. It has to burn something off of that husk. We see some that are in tropical climates, usually in swampy areas, that have to be soaked in a body of water for a long time, and then at the end of that process, they will germinate. We even see some that have to pass through an animal's digestive tract. So next time somebody tells you we're really going through it, maybe that's what they're talking about. The only good thing about that is you land in fertilizer when you're done. So, you never know what it's going to take to germinate what's been planted. There's a process that's used both in a natural environment and in an agrarian kind of business many times called scarification. Some people refer to it and call it scarification. Scarification is something we see a lot in cultures like in Africa where people burn or cut themselves and let that heal up over time, and they leave that, and it's like a tattoo that's more of a raised, embossed look to it. In one of the African countries, young women who are approaching marriage age will have a lot of cuts and things made on their abdomens, which say that I've gone through the pain necessary to become a mother. I can become a mother. And they use scarification to say that. And why they do that, I don't know, but that's what they do. But scarification is something that's used many times to nick or cut or abrade the hard surface of a seed. Because left to itself, that seed is dormant because the water can't penetrate it. It takes a long time for the process to happen. And so to speed up that process, many seed companies do this. They will literally abrade that seed somehow and cause that rough place on that seed so that the gases and the water can penetrate that shell. And I'm saying this today. It's such a beautiful example of what God allows to happen to us. Jesus himself was scarified, if I could say it that way. He was tempted in every way like you and me. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. He experienced every temptation. He experienced fear. He experienced hunger. He experienced the pain of death. He went through everything because there was no other way he could become a faithful high priest to us. He was touched by the feelings of our infirmities. How many of you know he had a shell around him in a sense because he couldn't be touched? He was not fully human in the way that we are. He was half human he was fully human and fully God. But how would he know what it was really like to be human in the ways that you and I experience and the difficulties we go through unless this touched him, unless it invaded his person? And having gone through that, he could be a faithful high priest so that when we're hurting, so that when we are tempted, so that when we are weary, when we're afraid, when we're dealing with the death issues and all the rest of that, he can be there for us and he can say, I understand. And Jesus was penetrated so that he could penetrate us. And some of the scarification that goes on in life, is there anybody here that's ever lost a job? Don't raise your hand. Is there anybody here that's got children far away from God? Is there anybody here that's dealing with addiction? Is there anybody here that deals with a constant fear? Is there anybody here that goes through difficulties with their finances? All of these things that go on can nick the covering of our hardened heart. You see people all the time that have led a charmed life and it seems like they don't need God and they don't care about God or anything like that, and then something happens in their life. Something happens in it. That nick and that of that coating and that hard shell of their heart gets interrupted, and that word that was in them maybe from a child, that word that they'd heard and rejected over and over again, that's been planted in their heart, receives water. It receives what it needs, and it begins to blossom inside of them, and they begin to realize that there's something there, and that something is growing inside of them. It's found a fertile place because the core, the outside, the core was released by the outside being hurt. How many ministries are in this country today? How many ministries are in this world today because somebody went through a cancer, because somebody had a child abducted, because somebody had a child that got caught in a trafficking situation? I mean, so many things that go on today where God is ministering to people are because somebody's exterior was broken. I want you to understand that. Why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes it's because God's trying to break in. Sometimes it's because we can't wait 150 years for that core to naturally get soft. God wants to get in there and do what he's doing early on. And so many times we look at the things that were hurtful and difficult and awful in our lives the wrong way. And it may be God's invitation to welcome us into a brand new life and to do things in our life that could never happen any other way. Now, beyond that, I want us to understand and not just personalize that. I want us to begin to look around us and see that God is doing many things, like he's allowing many things to happen. I mean, God's not doing them to people, not the ugly things, but he's allowing nature to take its course in a fallen world. And people are impacted. People are injured at times. People are disappointed. I mean, things happen to people. And these are the junctures at which God often invades that heart that's been covered over and protected and is hardened. And God uses these things to reach into our heart and germinate what's already been planted there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what am I asking of us? I'm asking this summer that we use the opportunities that we have. First of all, I'm asking that we don't forget God this summer and go on vacation emotionally. That I'm really feeling this big time. There is a ramping up of pre-second coming activity. We don't want to be sleeping when the Lord comes. He's coming in a twinkling of an eye. And that term twinkling of an eye means an unbreakable small amount of measured time. In other words, you couldn't divide it in half. It's so short. It's not going to be a big long trumpet blast that gives you 6 months to get ready. It's going to be like that and it's over. And once that happens, there's no going back. Once that happens, the world is different forever. Once that happens, the die is cast. And the scriptures talk to us about being asleep, like the five foolish virgins that didn't have their lamps trimmed and oil in those lamps and have those lamps burning. It is literally that kind of time in the kingdom, folks. It is not time for us to go walk about on God and just say, well, we'll pick it back up a little bit later. It is a season like no other season I think we've ever been in. And here's the thing. I really want us to concentrate on the watering process. You have no idea. You have no idea how many people out there are in the process of germinating. How many people out there going through things just need a kind word? How many people out there need somebody to come alongside them? How many people out there need someone to pray with them? You know, we had a guy, one of these construction guys in our home Thursday afternoon, and talking about the project and so forth and so on. And we came to find out several months back that he has terminal cancer. And, you know, we're dealing with the business and dealing with some issues that they've kind of fouled up on and so forth. And he says, "You guys have just really been patient. You guys have just really been nice and all this stuff." Well, thank you. We appreciate that. But I said, "You know, here's what I really want to do. You're going in for surgery on Friday, and we want to pray over you today. We really want to pray God would intervene." And he was so uncomfortable because he's not a believer at all. But you know, when you ask somebody if it'd be all right if we pray for you, I mean, when you're in that kind of need, are you going to refuse somebody praying for you that you're going to be okay when they're taking out all but the last 6 feet of your colon? Huh? These are things that we don't want to just say, "Well, you know, we're sorry you're going through that." No. This is where we intervene. This is where we care for people. This is where we get in the harness with them. You know, when you meet somebody at work or run into somebody in a store that is expressing something of a negative or something that's going on in their life, it's not time to say, "Man, I'm sorry," or just pass on and say, "Well, those guys really have issues." No. That was a crack in the armor. That was a crack. And you've got water. You may have a kind word. You might even have a scripture reference. It's amazing in the marketplace. Often, when you share a scripture concept with people, they go, "Whoa, I never heard that before." The wisdom of God answers these needs that are created by just living life. And what I'm saying to us is, let's don't be aloof from those situations. This summer, the Lord said to me, it's growing season. I was not expecting that, but I'm telling you, these are marching orders for me. I'm looking at every situation as a seed ready to burst. I'm looking at the people I know in a different light because I realize there's an embryo saint. Most everybody's heard the gospel in a town like this at some form, some fashion, sometime in the past. If you take a survey of people that you meet in Springfield, Missouri, 9 out of 10 of them have been in church at some point in time. 9 out of 10 of them have heard the gospel in some fashion or form, maybe higher percentage than that. Well, if it's an imperishable seed, all it takes is some watering at the right point in time in the environmental process, and that thing is going to begin to take root. It's going to germinate. It's going to release that embryonic thing been stored there. So what I'm saying to us this summer is, let's be purposeful in our relationships. You know, when we began the church, there was a process and time where we didn't do Sunday night service. Thank you, Jesus. We didn't do that. But what we did do was we had backyard evangelism. We literally would invite neighbors over to our houses. We literally would invite people that we'd never had anything to do with to join us. Have a couple of people that you knew real well, Christian people that had, you know, had their head on straight, and literally invite the neighbors over for a barbecue. And just have fun with them. Don't get them down, preach to them. Don't take an offering. Don't do anything like that. But just hang out with them and be a friend to them and nurture them and bless them. And it was amazing how many people out of that group of people started to come to the church and get saved and all that kind of thing. And so what we don't want to have as a congregation is a fortress mentality. That we're in here against all of the rest of the ungodly heathens out there. If this word that we preach is indestructible and imperishable, if it is in us a well of water springing up to life eternal, then there needs to be some watering done. There needs to be some confidence in what we've got inside of us and what's been entrusted to us. This is an amazing thing. The Lord gives the increase. We do some planting, then we do a bunch of watering. And the interesting thing of it is, we don't always get to water and harvest the seed we plant. There's a bunch of people out there that are planting. And we're going to come along and water it at the right time. It's going to spring up. And then maybe they're going to go to somebody else's church and get saved and get planted and get matured. That's fine. This is kingdom business. This isn't just about Hope Church. And we have to understand that we have an impact on a culture when we begin to act like believers. It's not about getting everybody to our church, but you know, the process sometimes includes inviting them into your life. And if your life is in the body of Christ, then that's the most natural place that you bring them. And so it's one of those things where we need to kind of get that attitude going. I feel sometimes like, you know, it's kind of like being a conservative in Washington right now. You know, nobody pays attention to you. They talk bad about you. They don't listen to you. They don't invite you into decisions that are being made. And the issue is this. We're carrying something that's eternal. Nothing can destroy it. Nothing can take it away. The only thing that can happen is we can be intimidated into not trafficking it. And I'm just saying to you that God is watering people. He's watering you. And he wants you to share what you've got with other people. It is amazing what is going on out there in the kingdom of God around the world. And we want to be part of it. Let me give you a couple of practical things as we kind of stumble to a close here. One of the interesting things about this process of scarification, let me read this to you real quickly. Scarification is a process that mimics some of the natural processes by cutting the external covering enough to allow water and gases to jumpstart the germination process. But there's a rule that people follow when they use this process, and it's kind of interesting to me. It says you must be able to water if you're going to scarify the seed. In other words, you can't just allow that seed to kind of go its way. It has to be watered really quick or it will deteriorate. Here's the thing. When somebody is going through one of those cutting, scarring, breaking kind of experiences around you, it is not something that will keep. It's time to jump on that. It's time to water that, because if you don't, there can be a souring and a deterioration process that happens that aborts what's living inside. God wants us to be instant in season and out of season in people's lives. He wants us to be able to touch them when they're touchable. When that hard shell is broken a little bit, it's not time for us to say, well, yeah, they're really going through it. It's time for us to go through it with them. It's time for us to touch their lives for the kingdom. Let me read you several things here. Watering is done in persistent hope that an unseen process is taking place. You know, when you plant those seeds out in your garden, I don't know how many times I've done this. I look at that seed and it's so tiny. I'm saying, that thing will never grow. I mean, that thing will never make it. And if you put it in the ground at the right depth and you water it right and you're consistent, amazingly enough, some plant comes up there that looks like the one on the packet. It's an amazing thing. But we have to understand that this is done by faith. You can't water it and then dig it up every day and see what's happening. You just keep watering it knowing that something's happening down under there that you can't see. It's a process that's built right into that whole seed, and you just have to trust it. Secondly, watering is done best by people who have a constant awareness of those around them who may be carrying dormant seed. This has started to work its way into my head when I go into a store or places where people aren't necessarily talking about Jesus. I'm starting to realize, you know something? Chances are there's something inside that person that could be quickened. Chances are pretty darn good that person has heard the gospel at some point in time. Not only that, to understand that the Holy Spirit is drawing people to Jesus, and I may be part of that process. So when I meet someone and my first thought is, well, they're not a Christian, we don't have anything to talk about. The idea being, there is something in that person that God is working on, and they may be a divine appointment. And I need to understand that I'm here under orders. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're there under orders. You're there with a purpose that has eternity written all over it. I mean, it's amazing. It's kind of exciting when you begin. It's kind of like, ladies, you understand what I'm talking about when there's a sale going on? And you want to get there as quick as you can because there are things just waiting to be taken home. I mean, it's buying season. And it's that way, I think, in the kingdom of God right now. I think the Lord is bringing back. Here's something that the Lord spoke to me back during the Jesus movement when everybody was getting saved. I mean, they were getting saved everywhere. And we were in staff meeting one day, and I remember we were thanking God for the end gathering that we were seeing. And the Lord says, there's coming a day when there will be a falling away of many of these that have come in great joy and they've not put down roots and so forth and so on. But the Lord spoke this to me. I'll never forget it. He says, but many of them will walk far away from me. But before I come back, I'm going to draw them back to me. And there is going to be the greatest evangelistic thrust of history because they're going to bring with them all those they have met and befriended while they've been out there. I believe it. I believe it. I'm telling you, there are people all around you. There are people at work. There are people where you shop. There are people where you play. There are people that are parents of the kids your kids run with. And there are lots of people out there that are running around the periphery. And they're just trying to keep an eye on the church a little bit so when Jesus gets ready to come back, they can rush back in. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God is quickening people. People know something's up. They're saying it's never been like this. This world has gotten crazy. Wherever you go, there's somebody that needs to be watered. I'll read these off real quick. I've got 6 minutes. Watering focuses quickly on those whose lives bear fresh marks of scarification. If somebody's going through something, don't put it off. Get to them as fast as you can. Water them as quick as you can because we don't want it to go sour. Nextly, watering features a focused, caring vigilance. Here's, you know, this illustration came to mind the other day. It's been over 30 years since this happened, but I was in Haiti. And we were talking with an elderly gentleman there that began to talk to us about, and we asked him, he says, how are you going to make, who's going to provide for you when you're older? And he was already about 65 or more. And he says, well, you know, he says, I have 34 kids. And as he talked on, there were an infinite number of women that he'd had these kids with. And we said, what's the deal with that? And he says, you know, I just figured with all these kids, one of them would strike it rich and take care of me when I get older. So he'd been sowing a lot of seed. Huh? But is anybody here going to be surprised if none of those kids support him when he's old because there has been no nurture and no care and no relationship in the meantime? And I tell you, sometimes the gospel is shared in such impersonal, uncaring ways. We just hit people upside the head with the gospel and there's no relationship, there's no lifestyle evangelism, there's none of that stuff. There really doesn't even much care involved in it. We're just throwing stuff against the wall and hoping it sticks and feel better about ourselves because we've witnessed to somebody. There's a big difference between going witnessing and being a witness. Waterers must encourage themselves that they're adding an element essential to the maturity of the imperishable seed. On most good seed, you will see a percentage of germination expected. We need to understand that we are literally watering the best seed that has ever been invented. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be ruined. It must be watered and it must be nurtured to come up. And that's the part that we play. Let me give you some examples of watering as we close. Watering, you know, what does watering look like? Well, it looks like love in action. These are just a small universe of ideas that, you know, we ought to be aware of. First is just being there. You know, I've been with so many people over the years in a hospital situation, in a family crisis, where there wasn't anything that could be said. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what to say to a mom who's just lost her child? And don't say, we can have another one. Does anybody here, I was with a pastor friend on Tuesday who just suddenly lost his wife of 34 years to lung cancer, and she'd never smoked a single cigarette in her life. He lost something like 25 pounds and had no weight to lose. He was sitting in my office just about as destroyed as a man can be. What do you say? Basically, Don, I love you, man. I'm here anytime. That's all you can say. You can pray for him, which we do. You can love on him. You can be their friend. You can be there when in the middle of the evening or the middle of the night they've got to talk to somebody. We can do that stuff. But we never know, we just never know the effect it's having in their heart of hearts, being there. Joy. You know something? Joy and happiness are two different things. We're big on happiness, but joy is the industrial strength version. Joy is the one that doesn't depend on good circumstances. It doesn't depend on good times. It doesn't depend on happy moods. Joy is something that endures the darkest of nights. Encouragement. Encouragement is something that everybody needs. It's a universal language. Prayer. Prayer is something that is not just, you know, just a few words. Prayer is something that engages the need, engages the heart. Support. I mean, there's times when people need people around them just to keep them standing. There are times when people need physical help or financial help or whatever it might be. And never discount the opportunity to give testimony, provide some teaching, or provide counsel when that's appropriate. Then there's closing the deal. This is one that we, you know, it separates the good salespeople from the poor salespeople or the mediocre salespeople. Closing the deal is when you ask the question, would you like me to pray for you? Wouldn't you like to receive Jesus? It's when you move from talking and theory and all the rest of it right down to making the sale. You may have to ask 100 times before they say yes, but sometimes, I believe in this season we're heading into, we're going to be shocked at how open and how ready and how available people are to close the deal. I'm trying to inseminate you today with this idea because there is something God's up to, and I'm not willing to waste a summer and wait for fall. Because then there's fall, and then there's Thanksgiving, and then there's Christmas, and then there's the January and snow and school's out, and then there's pre-Easter, and then there's Easter, and then there's summer again. There's exposure to good environments. There are people that are living in a living hell. If we've got something to offer, let's invite them into it. Let's say, can you come and be part of what we're doing? Can you come to our house? Can you come to our life group? Can you just come over and hang out with us? Invite people into the environment where they can be touched and see there's a difference. And then there's the lost art of friendship. I say lost art because in our digitized culture, in our email, texting, and otherwise very impersonal communicative world, that old-fashioned thing called a phone call, that old-fashioned thing called writing somebody a note or a card or even a letter, that old-fashioned thing of communication that's direct, that old-fashioned thing of just being a friend to somebody and trying to drum up a relationship, these things never go out of style. And I'm telling you, if you have friends or maybe even church friends that you see kind of drifting away, or you see them not really plugged in, or you see them with a look on their face that doesn't bode well, can we just be aggressive enough to reach in and touch them? Can we get personal enough that we can water what God is doing in their life? Can we do that? I think we can. I think we're equipped. I think we're called. I think we're anointed. I think the Spirit of God in us is wanting to minister to the life of God in them. I know that to be true. And the Bible says they will know we are Christians by our bumper sticker. No, I think it's still love. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Ministry team, would you come? I believe there are people here today that have folks in their lives that they're really burdened for. I don't believe this is a shot in the dark kind of message for some of you today. I believe this is giving some marching orders to some people that really do have some folks on their heart. And today, if you want prayer so that you'd be more effective in reaching them, we'd invite you to come.